Good morning. Welcome to the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, and another day the Lord has given to us, and many things going on, some positive, some negative, but yet it's still a day from the Lord. So let us rejoice and life lessons. Have you learned any over the years, perhaps even the hard way? Life is full of teaching moments, is it not? What we do with those moments is key. God continues to give us teaching moments, sometimes even in a harsh way from our vantage point, but always with our best interests in mind. So to Him be the glory as we keep that in mind throughout our worship service this day. We turn our attention to page 3 of the service bulletin as we continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We continue with the singing of our first hymn, 255 in the red hymnal. Please stand. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess I am by nature sinful, and I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and fail to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. For the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, our first reading comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 12. Talk about a life lesson. David learned a harsh one as a consequence of a sin. We hear these words. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, well, the child was still living. He wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me.'" Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him, and because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. The word of the Lord. Let us join together in singing our psalm for today, Psalm 30. It is true, Christ has destroyed death, and yet people still die. And so we are encouraged to hold on to Christ in this life for the next. That encouragement in 2 Timothy 1. "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of our Lord. We continue with the singing of hymn 449. Please rise for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 5th chapter, that truth in the hymn is carried out in these words of our Lord. He truly does have the power in life and over death, as illustrated once again in this reading. So let us continue to hold on to him at all times. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told him to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention once again on the first lesson, the Old Testament reading. This time we hear from 2 Samuel 12. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow people of God, held by God in the palm of his hand, consequences. Anyone here like to experience consequences? Consequences can be an indicator that we may just have done something wrong or foolish, and now we have to live with or deal with the results. It may be we invested everything we have in one basket, even though we know that is not a wise thing to do. Sure enough, the market takes a nosedive, and gone is everything we were planning to use for retirement. We put our hand between some rocks, just for the fun of it, and tee off a rattlesnake in the process. We eat death by chocolate 7 days straight because it sounded like a good thing to do at the time. And then wonder why the reading on that scale bumped up a little bit. We skateboard off handrails and misjudge a jump. Ouch. Countless examples we could use to make the point that actions can come with consequences we were not expecting or we hope would not come that way. Parents discipline their children. Sometimes as a parent, we have to let our children learn the hard way, right? Our Heavenly Father is no different, showing tough love at times with this life lesson to be learned. And that is learning through tough life lessons. In the case of God, with us in mind, learning what it means to be impacted by sin, first of all. And secondly, learning what it means to be impacted by grace. Sin is U-G-L-Y. It is impacted in an all-negative way this world God had created to be good and pleasing. It is because of sin in the world, and even closer to home, inside of each one of us, we do things we know we should not do or say things we know we should not say. And then afterwards, kick ourselves for doing or saying what we knew we should not do. At least we should be kicking ourselves. King David knowingly committed a sin. He allowed his sinful thought to turn into a sinful action. We can become pretty good at justifying our sinful actions, can we not? David was even told, you could have had anything positive, but you took what was not yours. And now you will have to live with the consequence of that action. And David did just that. Psalm 32 spells out what was happening to David, not only after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, but how that sin was compounded as he put a hit on Bathsheba's husband, and then how that was compounded by his refusal to come clean of his sins. For some time, David refused to admit that he had done anything wrong. But his God-given conscience would not allow him to rest. It would not be quieted. David said it, looking back at the situation, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Guilt can wear us down emotionally, physically, and spiritually, can it not? We can't sleep. We become cranky. We just aren't ourselves, are we? Conscience, when kept in tune with God, is a good thing. Just like with our vehicles, if we want them to run well, we need to take care of them. Neglect the engine or the brakes. Our car might stall or the brakes might go out coming back from Reno on 80. Talk about a hair-raising, even if you don't have any, ride of your life. As much as it depends on us, we do not want to dull our conscience. And not only then do we want to keep our conscience sharp, we need to listen to it when it sends warning signals to our brain. David ignored the warning signals, and his sin and guilt got deeper. How many times have you and I ignored the warning signals sent to us? And if we have not yet experienced any consequences from that, well, don't count your chickens before they hatch. The sins David committed not only hurt himself, he also hurt Bathsheba. He also hurt her husband, who he put a hit on. He hurt his servants who knew about his adultery. He hurt countless others as word got out, and this without the forms of modern social media. And above all, he hurt his God. David finally confessed his sins, his wrongdoings, and having done so, he was fully aware of the fact that further consequences would be coming his way. Because of his God-given faith, though, he was put in a position to hold on in the face of consequences, as he knew he had no one to blame but himself for what was going to happen to him. This is a far cry from what we hear too often today, right? People not wanting to admit to their own wrongdoing, and so brace themselves for the consequences they have brought upon themselves? Or, hey, wait a minute. I just confessed my sin, so why do I still have to deal with consequences? David was told someone from his own family would make his act of adultery seem like child's play. Absalom was that son who committed that act during his attempt to overthrow his father from the throne. David's sin may also have led to his less than stellar father discipline when it came to the rest of his children, leading to their own lives becoming tangled webs. David was also told that the child conceived through that act of adultery would die. David is the one who should have been taken out, but the Lord was going to teach David and countless others a tough life lesson through this consequence. The conclusion to the commandments makes it clear that the sins of the father can impact generations that follow. Now, such may not seem fair to us, but it is reality. As David's sin and the sins we commit against God are not fair. We commit sin, we tangle with it, expect consequences. A tough life lesson. It seems that we hear about in the news every day. Parents refusing to look at what their child has done leading up to that ugly result. Now, in some cases, the child may be innocent, and yet we are reminded in an ugly way of sin and its consequences in our world. Sin not only stings, it kills. Because of sin, we do not naturally have a relationship with God, the one and only God. Because of sin, we say and do things, regrettable things, which may or may not come with immediate consequences. One of those consequences being not able to forget what it is that we have done, and even though forgiven of it, it still lingers on in our mind. A tough life lesson. because of sin. We have to encounter harsh people, along with the consequences that come with their actions. Because of sin, people die. Keep in mind, death is not natural, for this is not what God intended for the people of His world. But with sin has come death. And so while it may seem natural to us now, a harsh reminder of the fact that it is not natural is when a child dies. Talk about death's sting. David experienced and had to deal with and live with such a consequence as the reason why the child of his died. It was not meant to be a forever punishment from the Lord, but rather a teaching moment for David and for those who would know of this situation. For God is into building us up, and at times He uses tough life lessons to do just that. The point of these lessons is not to have them go in one ear and immediately out the other, but to have them stick somewhere in between. This applies to nearly every environment. If a parent fails to discipline their children, what typically happens? How do those children typically turn out? When we as a society are not feeling any safer or coming together as we think we should, why is that? Well, part of that reason is because we continue to ignore and step on God's Word. Churches that have compromised God's Word are not gaining in respect, but rather are viewed as just another feel-good social club. Actions come with consequences. And what makes matters worse is when we fail to learn from those tough life lessons. David then not only learned a tough life lesson the hard way with the death of his son, he also learned what it meant to be impacted by the grace of God in his life. By grace, David did not lose his faith. By grace, David was cut to the core and confessed his sin as the law did its work. It always does, but sometimes we people ignore what the law has to say. By grace, David held on to the promises of God as he prayed for that child while still alive, hoping that God might change his mind in regard to that child. When the child died, David held on to grace all the more. And so instead of going into the expected mode of depression upon such a loss, he moved forward with his life, knowing that the child would not come back to him, but that he in time would go to be with that child. It was not that David did not care or that he was not saddened by this. It was that he was able to see the bigger picture. He had no right to blame God for taking the child. David knew his own sin was to blame. And while he had to live with that truth, he, by grace, also had God's forgiveness to hold him up amidst the hurt. When consequences impact us, let us not be quick to blame God, but rather to take an honest look at ourselves. And even if we have not done what we think should be deserving of such a consequence, recall Job. Again, look to God for the purpose that this can serve. We live in a sinful world, and bad things, tragic things, ugly things are going to happen. God did not want this for His world, but we who think we know better are just as guilty of Adam and Eve, and so too often go against what we know to be the right way, God's way. Let us stop then with the finger pointing and ask God to impact us with His grace, to offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us. This does not mean we do not hold people accountable, but we do not do such out of revenge or spite. We do so rather for their own good and the good of countless others. Now God blessed David and Bathsheba with another son, one whom God would use to teach us more valuable life lessons. Solomon himself learned life lessons the hard way. Meaningless, Solomon came to the conclusion of trying to live life without God at the heart of that life. For with God, there is free and full forgiveness of each and every one of our sins. Forgiveness that has been gained for us through the Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness that has been gained for us through the perfect life Jesus lived, that we should be living. Forgiveness gained through that innocent death Jesus died, the death that we should have died. Because of His sacrificial life and death, we have forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is not a license to live as we please, but rather just the opposite. It gives us the motivation to do the right thing, to continue in God's ways, not in sinful ways. For the love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for Him who died and rose again for us. Forgiveness does not mean that we will not have consequences in this life. Forgiveness provides us with the peace we need to endure whatever the situation might be in our life. Our forgiveness puts us in a position to be willing to forgive others. And if they refuse to be forgiven, well, that is on them, but we can move forward at peace, learning through tough life lessons in the process. The past, while we can learn from it, has nothing else to offer us. What God has in store for us, by grace, that is where it is at. Are we living then, dear friends, with that end in mind? Or are we pulling a David before coming clean of his sin? Keep in mind these words from 1 Corinthians 15 as you ponder that thought. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Tough life lessons, then, do serve a purpose. God, help us learn from those lessons. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found on page 10. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Amen. We use the prayer of the church as printed out for us on page 11. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth.
Through this heavenly food, increase our trust in Christ and our love for one another.
Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need and to help them with deeds of kindness.
Creator of all good things, we give thanks to you for watching over Adam Felgene during his recent medical procedure. And now we ask that you grant healing to his body. Strengthen him not only physically, but also in his relationship with you. Also, Lord, we commend to your care for safekeeping Nathan Gray, the grandson of Mel and Dwayne Carlson, who was privileged to graduate from the Marine Corps. We thank you for this milestone in his life. And as he has already learned some tough lessons, we ask that you would continue to help him grow through the tough lessons that are yet to come in his life. Thank you, Lord, for watching over him. Also, as fires have started to flare up and with loss of life and property being harsh consequences of these fires, may we not take life and property for granted. Give the fire crews the stamina and tools needed to fight these fires. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May these couples among us be able to celebrate this gift and renew their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Hear us, Lord, now as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. To highlight a few announcements, Bible study today taking place here in the church will be the Gospel of Mark. Can you believe it? We're at chapter 2 already in the Gospel of Mark. And then for those who are doing the Foundations course, that'll be taking place in the chapel, in the next building. And teen class takes place in the upper area in this building, and also then Sunday school in the various rooms that are designated. If you don't know where those are, please speak to one of the ushers. Mission boxes, LWMS mission boxes, please see the bulletin board, the information board for those mission boxes. Time to take and return. And there's so much great information there regarding the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. And we'll be featuring some of that work in the summer months yet. But please stop by and check out those mission boxes. Window booklets are available, so if you didn't get one last week when we dedicated these stained glass windows, you can still get a booklet. Another booklet will be coming out as well, a little more expanded. But in the meantime, a great explanation of each of these windows can be found in that booklet. If you don't see any more, just contact the office and we'll make sure you get one. Bus trip, see the weekly news regarding a bus trip. Just, I want to highlight that fact because sign up is really needed now, even though it's a December trip. But so ladies, take note of that bus trip. Be great fellowship opportunity. So see that note. VBS is coming up in July. Opportunity to not only sign up for registration, invite friends and neighbors and so forth, but also we need some supplies. So again, direct your attention to the weekly news. And there's more information out there in the entryway too, right? So over there, there's a deadline to that. So we only got about a week. So keep that in mind as you read through that VBS news item. Teen and Connects will be having open gym every Monday through August 13th from 6:30 to 8:30, so keep that in mind. Happy and safe 4th of July to all of you May no fires be started through the celebrations. But also then, just to appreciate the independence that God has given to us as a nation, and most importantly, the independence He's given to us through His Son, our Savior, I direct your attention to hymn 619. Hymn 619 in the hymnal. You're going to sing a cappella this prayer for our nation. 619. Choir will be starting in the fall. Hope many of you will think about it. Have a great day in the Lord. Greet your family and friends here at St. Mark's. Thank you.